Monday of the new year. So I'm not going to spoil it by saying anybody has a case of the Mondays, right? But I am going to look ahead to the week. And this is kind of an important week because, of course, we're going to get our first vote of presidential season tomorrow in Iowa. So we're joined by Anna Sale, political reporter for It's a Free Country, WNYC's interactive politics site. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
And also Michael Munger, Duke University professor of economics and political science. Hi, Mike.
Hey there. You know the Detroit Lions are in the playoffs?
I heard that somewhere.
You know, nobody's mentioned it. That's interesting
news. It's odd how that's not like the headlines of the New York Times, right? They love Detroit. Anyway, let's start with Anna because we're talking about Iowa today. And I want you to take a listen first to this comment from an Iowa voter that we spoke to on Wednesday of last week.
There's so many good candidates, and I haven't arrived on one that I could look at and say, wow, this person absolutely fits my bill 100%. So I'm kind of wavering yet there.
That's Pastor Kerry Yek in Marshalltown, Iowa. He was one of a group of undecideds. We're now only a day away. I'm wondering if that large group of undecideds in Iowa has been pared down. Have people made their decision?
People are increasingly making the decision. You mentioned the Iowa poll that came out over the weekend. That's the Des Moines Register poll. And it looks like, you know, people are slowly coming around to making a choice. But what's interesting in the poll is more than 40% say they could be persuaded to support someone else. So
right.
Even the folks who say their mind is made up, about half say their mind is made up. 40% say they could be persuaded. So while they might have made a decision, it might be sort of a non-committal decision at this point.
Although it seems like those polls are changing pretty rapidly. It wasn't that long ago that Newt Gingrich was the front runner. Remember his famous statement, "I think I'm going to be the nominee," or something to that effect. And now he's in what, fourth place?
And that has been just a spectacular collapse. Given that he, at the very beginning of very end of November, he was far and away the leader in Iowa, and so now he's the candidate that voters say they like least. So what that shows, of course, is that negative campaigning sticks. The state has been absolutely blanketed with ads attacking Gingrich, and they've worked.
Well, Mike, let me go to you now, Mike Munger. To what extent are people being swayed? I mean, some of these negative attack ads have nothing to do with the economy, even though people still say the economy is the number one voting issue. Is that really the case?
Well, it's really – Iowa's pretty tough. It's like high school in a way. The way that the caucuses work is they meet in houses and they stand in groups. And a lot of times people just want to be with the other popular kids. So it may switch even on the night. The night of the caucus is actually held. People move around in groups. So the Iowa is probably the least likely to reflect people's underlying beliefs about the economy and most likely to reflect short-term changes in people's assessment of the candidates as people.
Well, so Anna, what does that mean in terms of New Hampshire? Whoever wins in Iowa, does that give them any kind of momentum?
Well, it's important to point out, so Rick Santorum is the candidate who's surging from behind in
right.
this latest poll. I misspoke earlier. Right now it's Romney, Ron Paul, Rick Santorum, and then Newt Gingrich. But then you look ahead to New Hampshire, where Mitt Romney has led all along, where Ron Paul has had sort of consistent report and is gaining in the polls, and Rick Santorum is hanging around 3%. So if Rick Santorum has a surprising finish here in Iowa, he's going to have quite a challenge to convert that to momentum into New Hampshire and South Carolina because he is way down in the polls in those next two states.
Well, Mike, let's talk a little bit more about the economy going into 2012. We have had a slow recovery despite all these discussions about double dips. It hasn't happened. And consistently, although very minusculely, the unemployment rate has gone down. How does it look for this year?
Well, the recession actually ended in the second quarter of 2009. But if you ask most people, that's not how they feel. Economists, because they don't have actual lives, generally spend a lot of time trying to make predictions. And interestingly, presidential elections are pretty easily predicted just by unemployment rate and inflation and the recent growth rate. So if the growth rate were to pick up, I mean, I want to talk about candidates and issues, but the fact is many people seem to vote when it comes down to it on how the economy is performing, particularly recently. So these sort of estimates, Ray Fair is a famous one, but a lot of these estimates would show that if the economy were to pick up to something like 4% for a couple of quarters, President Obama could win re-election easily. On the flip side, though, if he doesn't, if growth rates do not pick up, it's going to be a very long summer of campaigning for the incumbent president.
All right, but let me pin you down here. If we take a look at some of the trends over the past few months, I mean, we have seen consumer confidence go up. We have seen the unemployment rate fall bit by bit over time. How does that look? Will we see low inflation, at least some growth, and the unemployment rate continue to come down?
I think this is why I generally stand alone at Party Celeste. People come up to me and they have this bright sense of optimism. And they're not. Things are not getting better. We're looking at growth rates 1.5, 2%, and the unemployment rate is not going to drop by very much. It may not be below 8%, even if we have strong growth. And those sort of unemployment rates, no incumbent president is going to be reelected. So unless we have unexpectedly strong growth, there's a consensus. The problem is that our economy is all covered with grease. All of the euro is going to have trouble. All of the world is going to have trouble until we can get the problems in Europe solved. And there's no prospect of that happening. World growth and U.S. growth are hamstrung.
By grease, you don't mean what's left over after you cook bacon. You mean the country. But let me ask you the same question that we're asking to all of our listeners today. Do you guys make New Year's resolutions, Anna?
Let's see. What is my New Year's resolution? To get more sleep.
Oh, that's a great one. I'm going to go with that one, too. Mike Munger?
Mine is to be more happy. It's not working out very well so far.
Yeah, well, you know, you're an economist. You know, a tip for you, Mike. If you want people to hang around you at parties, you might want to stop wearing those bright colored sweaters. Mike,
some people like those.
Mike Munger, Duke University, professor of economics. I'm kidding. I have no idea whether he wears bright sweaters or not. Mike Munger at Duke University, Anna Sale, political reporter for It's a Free Country, the politics website, for our co-producer WNYC. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
We want to hear your New Year's resolutions as well. They could be news resolutions, I guess.
In my case, they almost always are.
Exactly. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can post your comment at thetakeaway.org. Do you make resolutions, Todd?
I generally don't. They seem contrived on the calendar to me. I do self-improvement, but not usually resolutions.
Oh, there you go.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.